Well, I'll talk about my wife. She's not here, so I can do what I want to. Amen. She hates when I start telling about it. I said, man, when we hunted rabbits, we eat that whole thing. Bless God. Skin it out. Didn't cut no head off. Y'all probably thought I came from the eons and caves days. Amen. We left the head on the rabbits and the squirrels. Amen. And skin them down, right down over the head. Cute little teeth out there. Amen. And take your knife, pop eyeballs out. Praise God. I don't eat them things. Cook them up. Mama fix it. My sister and I used to fight over the squirrel's head when we were kids. If it wasn't for rabbit and squirrel, I'd probably starve to death. You can tell I'd about wiped out the population. Amen. And take your fork. Somebody said, how you eat them things? What do you do? I said, you eat it. You just hold it right there. Take that fork. Pop, just like it. Flick that skull out of the way. Delicacy. Somebody said, I wouldn't eat that. I said, well, you eat fish eggs. Amen. I don't even do that. But anyway. And it blows my mind. People spend, they'll spend $80 and $100 for a little ounce of something. I said, I don't care for that. Amen. Amen. Well, now we got the food element out. Somebody said, why do you talk about food so much? I said, that's where I got the most of my experience. Amen. I've lost 138 pounds. I used to have a song I sang, I'm twice the man I used to be, but I had to revise it. I'm half the man I used to be. Amen. Oh, me. Somebody said, how'd you lose all that weight? You been on a diet? I said, no, matter of fact. I said, well, I'm on two diets. They said, what you doing on two? I said, I can't get enough to eat on one. Amen. Just double them up a little bit. Amen. Take your Bible tonight. I'm going to get out of the way. Go to Joshua chapter number 6. And I'm going to be brief here tonight. You stay with me. And we'll seek God on this thing here tonight. I've been praying. God's led us this way. In Joshua chapter number 6. I want to read one verse of Scripture out of this passage. And verse number 16. We might read a couple of verses, starting verse 15, excuse me. And it came to pass on the seventh day, Joshua chapter 6, verse 15. It came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day, and they compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. I don't think he said it that calmly, amen. Now you come back with me. Joshua said unto the people,
shout.
Boy, I tell you, ain't nothing going to come down. That wouldn't even bring them. That wouldn't bring man out of heaven, amen. And Joshua said unto the people,
shout.
Praise God, that's it. For the Lord hath given you the city. I want to speak to you a little while tonight on the thought, I've got to shout. Father, tonight I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. I pray that you'll minister to us tonight. God, may you be glorified. May you be exalted in every aspect tonight. We want you lifted up and magnified. And Father, I pray you'll use tonight's message. I pray our hearts will be stirred. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Here we come to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. I preached a lot of messages out of the book of Joshua. It's a very challenging book. But as we come to this first part of the book of Joshua and you begin to read, you find the people of Israel on the brinks of a new day. We find that they have completed their sentence of judgment that was issued to them by God because of their failure to believe God and trust God and know that He would lead them and take them and provide for them and make provision for them. We find that they had wandered through the wilderness, and served their sentence and watched their relatives and those that disbelieved God. The sentence of judgment had been levied toward them. And we find the death and the funeral services that were held through those 40 years. If you calculate, I just said 2 million. If it was 2 million that passed off the scene, then you had 137 funerals for 40 years. Can you imagine that? I'm going to tell you, that's a lot of heaps of sand that were left in the desert. But the sentence of judgment had been completed, and now here they have embarked out and crossed the river, and now they have placed themselves in God's promised land that He had given unto them. And notice in Joshua 5:9, it said, "The Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you." Aren't you thankful, praise God? There's been a day and there's been a time that your reproach has been rolled away. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I never will forget the day. You probably have heard me preach. If you have, you probably heard this date. On March the 15th, I know dates don't save you, but on March the 15th of 1977, about 11-year-old boy, I bowed his knee and confessed his sins. And thank God, the burden of sin rolled away. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for that. Notice he said, "The reproach of Egypt is from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day." The word Gilgal, as you begin to find, it's a place of rolling away. Amen. I'm thankful. Praise God. There's a place in my life, a Gilgal. Amen. Where my burdens have been rolled away and the guilt of sin, thank God, I've been forgiven. Amen. Oh, praise God. Here we find that Israel is under new leadership, and Moses has passed from the scene. Joshua is now at the helm, directing Israel toward what God had promised. And here we find in chapter 6 of the book of Joshua, we find Israel, they stand again in need of God's help. They need God to manifest Himself and move on their behalf. See, they can't find their way without God. Oh, listen, my friend, that's the way we are tonight. I can't find my way apart from God. Amen. I need God to help me. I need God to move on my behalf. I need God to minister and show me. See, Proverbs said this. He said in Proverbs 3:5, he said, "Acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path." Verse number 5 said, "Trust in the Lord." Who's going to lead you? Who's going to direct you? It's God. Amen. There's only one that can give you sure direction and leadership. You say, "I don't know what tomorrow is." Israel didn't know what tomorrow held for them, but there was a God that was leading them. There was a God that was giving them direction, and they were following that God. Amen. We find that they stood in need of help of God. Oh, notice here, and not only do we see God showing them corporately, but He showed them and began in working in their life individually. See, God began to give to them the elements that would bring the victory. See, notice here, God began to give them the elements that they would need in order to have the victory. Let me say to you tonight, people say, "How can I have victory in my life? How can I be an overcomer?" Listen, my friend, God has given to us a wonderful book, amen, that He's put together and preserved called the King James Bible, amen. I'm not ashamed to proclaim it. Dr. Brian and I were talking, and I was sharing with him a preacher who said, "The things that are dividing our movement today is this." He said, "Standards, music, and the Bible." And he said, "I'm not going to make an issue out of any of them." I said, "My friend," I told the fellow I was talking to, I said, "It wouldn't surprise me if he walked in the pulpit with a New King James or NIV." Amen. Listen, a man that won't fight for the book and stand for the book, my friend, will turn his back on the book. Amen. Yes, sir. And standards, and listen, right living too. Amen. Might as well throw that in. It don't cost anything extra. Amen. Notice we find that God begins to move, and God gives them the elements. Notice this, He was precise in His instructions for victory. Listen, He was precise in giving them the instruction. Listen, my friend, tonight, I'm thankful, praise God, that He didn't leave out anything that I would need. Amen. He gave me a book that's precise in doctrine according to 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 16. He gave me a book that's precise in doctrine, and for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Amen. You say, why did He do that? Why did He give us precise instruction? It's so that the man of God, that the individual could be thoroughly furnished, that they could live a life that would be well pleasing to God. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Oh, He was precise in giving instruction. But notice this, God's precise in giving His instruction, but there must be obedience in order to conquer and to have what God has promised. He can't be voided what He's given. He can't be shunned and turned aside and said, well, I'm not going to pay any attention to it. You look and you study the life of Israel. Listen, my friend, every time they began to lose and lose ground, and they lost the victory, it's, listen, and the fire that they had was because they were not obedient to the very instructions that were given. See, apart from the leadership of God, we are not assured the victory. When we are guided by the Lord, there's something that begins to build in us as we follow Him. See, the element of faith begins to grow strong and then stronger to a point of overflowing that produces in us a resolve of the faith in His Word. It produces in us a resolve of the faith in His promises, which explode in the depths of our souls and echoes through the world around us. It resounds from our being in a large, loud exclamation of confidence and exaltation called a shout. Amen. Thank God. There's a lot of thing about a shout. There's a lot of things about a shout. He can be intimidating. He can. Now, as y'all have already found out, they've had to turn the mics down. I'm very quiet. And, I like to just have fun. I know you can tell my nature's not that way. Kind of backward and all, but anyway. But I like, you know, sometimes I've been in a restaurant or somewhere and just rear back. And, you know, it's people around. It's close, confined quarters. And I'll say, hey! Boy, everybody will jump. Some of them like Brother Led better be popping nitroglycerin, amen. And they turn around and say, what in the world is that fat guy trying to do anyway? It's intimidating. I've had somebody, I'm going to tell you right now, I had somebody in Walmart. I'll tell you what, we have a world that has a mouth of filth. And they don't care where you're at. I was rolling my buggy with my four critters and my wife through Walmart. And we was walking down, my wife said, I need to check something right there. I said, go ahead. And I'll stand at the end of a big aisle. And here come these little four whippersnappers down through. And they were running their mouth. And I said, hey! They looked at me. Well, at first one wasn't that loud. I said, hey, mind your mouth. And he looked at me and he said, I didn't understand what you said. Well, the decimals kind of picked up at that point. Because all 135 pounds of flesh began to well up in me, amen. That's just my soul, amen. And I said, hey, buddy, I said, listen, you want a whipping, boy? I said, you ain't too big to get one. I can tell you it right now. I said, I got a size 36 belt times a little bit, and I'll take you outside and tan your hide. Now, I got kids right here now. Hush your mouth with that language, buddy. I said, you kindly understood that, didn't you, punk? Amen. Now, brother, I'm working on my attitude, amen. Dr. Brown, I'm working on my attitude. But they got my point, and they said, oh. It was a little intimidating when I hollered at them. I got their attention. Yeah, they were listening. See, a shout can be, and it can be overwhelming. But a shout also can bring shame. Oh, listen. It also can bring joy. It can bring contentment. And bring warm feelings. See, there's a lot of things about a shout. I preach in a lot of black churches over the years. I love preaching there. I hate preaching in white churches. You say, why is that? Because they will preach you to death. I took a young preacher boy one time. Me, he said, I was at the church, Brother Cobb, his Sunny Home Baptist Church, and a good preacher, black preacher friend of mine. And he said, we was there, and he said, can that boy preach? I said, well, it'd be good for him. He said, I'm gonna let him preach about 10 minutes. He got up, And he sat back down. He said, "Dear Lord, they didn't hear a word I said." I said, "Well, you got to know how to preach, amen." I said, "You got to let them talk." And then I said, "You talk, amen." And I like, boy, I get rhythm and rhyme and get to going, "Hey, hallelujah, praise God, God's good." And I said, "God's good, amen." I like it. See, you get to rest in between a little bit. It don't preach your work you so hard. But old Brother Cobb, let me tell you one thing. As one thing, boy, ever he'd stand up, and I always liked what he used. He said, "Boy, I tell you," he'd stand there, he'd lead that choir. He's a big old fella. I told him, I said, "You look just like a bell." He hung out all the way around, amen. And he'd get to singing, and I'm going to tell you, I said, "You look like Jell-O too, amen." He said, "Don't say nothing. You ain't looked in the mirror lately yourself, have you?" I said, "Well." But he'd say, he'd get up, and boy, he'd get happy, and he'd say, "I just want to tell you, I got a shout, amen." And I feel the same way. Listen, my friend, here are the people of they were up against Jericho. Let me say to you tonight, no matter what crosses your path, we must shout, amen. Amen. Difficulties may come, hardships we may face, but rear back and shout for God's amen. Glory. You say, "Preacher, I want to share three things real quick, amen." I want to give Brother Brown, we may have two and a half, amen. Then we'll give it to Brother Brown. But listen, let me just two, amen. All right, I thought you was limiting me, amen. Amen. He said, listen, we must shout. You say, "Why is that? Why must we shout?" I've got to shout tonight, my friend, because of the accompanying captain, amen. Thank God there's one with me. Look at the end of chapter number 5. He said this, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, "Art thou for us? Are you our adversary?" And he said, "Nay, but of the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." You say, "Preacher, what are you saying?" Here we find the captain, amen. I'm thankful tonight that I've got a captain, amen, that's leading me and directing me. Thank God he gives leadership, amen. Thank God he gives me direction. I've got someone. Here we find Joshua. He's a spying out, and he's a looking, he's a searching out things. And he said, "How are we going to take this thing? Oh God," he's seeking from God. He said, "Lord, I need direction." He's over there looking and spying out, getting ready to take the city. He's looking. All of a sudden he turns his head and he looks and he sees the man, and he puts it in hillbilly terms, amen. "Hey, are you on our side or not?" Amen. And he said, "Hey, I'm with you. I'm the captain. I've come to give you direction." Thank God we got a captain that gives us direction, amen, and guides us and leads us in this life, amen. Praise God. I don't have to worry about leadership because he'll lead me. He'll guide me into all truth. And thank God he'll show me truth. And he'll point out those phonies along the way, amen. That's the ones, as Dr. Brown was talking last night, that got the hair rubbed the wrong way, amen. Somebody else said, "I don't like what the preacher said." Listen, that rubbing the fur the wrong way will turn the cat around, amen. Praise God. That's what old Dr. Lackey used to say. It's good advice too, amen. Listen, I'm thankful that we can be assured of his leadership. He gives leadership. But notice this captain. Oh, notice this captain gives leadership. But notice I said accompanying captain. Now notice this captain, thank God, shows us we are guaranteed of his loyalty. Amen. He'll not forsake us in the fight. Amen. He'll not forsake us in the way. Yes. Listen, pastors and preachers, let me say this to you tonight. You as well as myself, Dr. Brian and I are good friends, and he's known me ever since I was about this tall and about this wide, amen. And listen, I thank God for his friendship. I appreciate him. A great one man that I've been able to look up to, a great man of God that's been faithful. But as we talk and we fellowship, and listen, as you go through, listen, and we talk about the things that we face as men of God in ministry. Listen, let me say, it may seem that you're all alone. You can't talk to your wife. There's nobody to talk to. You have no one to talk to. Seem like you're forsaken. But you're not alone, my friend. For he's assured not only you, but every child of God, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." We're guaranteed of his accompaniment as we walk in this war, amen. As we walk forth conquering, as we fight. as we face those Jerichos, as we face those walled cities and the difficulties. He's saying, seek them to a bulldog. Amen. Let me say, my friend, when we face the Jerichos and those difficulties, we're assured that He's walking with us. Amen. He's not going to forsake us. Hallelujah. Thank God. Oh, thank God. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I've got a shout tonight. I get happy within myself. And I know this tonight. I shout and praise God for His goodness. And I shout because there's one with me that's walking with me, that's leading me. And it brings joy. And I say, hallelujah, amen. Not only we must shout. Why? Because of the accompanying captain. But because of the associated company. Because of the associated company. Notice with me, as we begin in this passage of Scripture of Joshua chapter number 6, you will find in this passage the ark mentioned. It is the centerpiece. It is the centerpiece. It's the narrative of this story. Oh my. It's the focal point. Notice that ark is mentioned 11 times there. And it causes us to begin to look and realize, see, it's not about you. It's not about me. But it's all about Him. Amen. It's all about Him. A lot of times we want to stand up and we want to gloat and boast in ourselves. And we want to say, look what we have accomplished. Look what we have done. Look at these people that we have brought to God. And look at this, what we have ministries we've built. Listen, my friend, when it comes down to it, my friend, listen, you've got attitude. Your attitude is what the check mark is. You either got trophy or you got trash. Amen. Oh, listen, my friend. Let me say to you tonight, it's all about Him. He's the narrative. He's the centerpiece. He said, place me first. See, we're in great company when we're with Him. Amen. Oh, listen, my friend, when we begin to see who we keep company with, who we're walking with, there are some people that we don't want to even admit that we know. You got some of them people too, huh? Somebody walk up to, used to, you know, people go, hey, you know so-and-so? I say, yeah. And they said, let me tell you, boy, they claim, man, they don't go to church half time. They're wicked as the devil wants them to be. And they go, oh. Now I've got to the place that people say, do you know so-and-so? And you kind of go, well, yeah. They said, well, take that for a yes. But listen, let me say this tonight. I've never been ashamed of the company that I keep. Praise God, I'm not ashamed of Him. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of Him. I'm not ashamed of who He is. I'm proud to be claimed one of His. Let me say tonight, I've let Him down and I failed Him. I've not been what I need to be as an individual. But let me say to me, say to you tonight, my friend, He's a company. Thank God that I love keeping. I love to acknowledge that I know Him. Amen. And that I'm associated with Him. Oh, let me say to you tonight, that associated company, that ark, as it went around, it represented kind of a take on some things that we looked like talking about last night, the power of God. But notice there's two things here. I'll give them to you at once and then we'll move. Notice here the provision of His presence. See, notice the provision of His presence. See, that when they saw the ark, they were reminded. That's why it was in front. It was that they keep their eyes on who was leading and in whose company they were in. See, the provision of His presence. Oh, listen, it ought to move us to know, and there ought to be a shout that resonates from our lips and from our soul because we know Him. And Numbers 23:21 said, He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath He been seen perversely in Israel. The Lord, His God, is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Thank God, when we're in His company, we can shout and say, the King is among us. Amen. And dwells. Not only see the provision of His presence, but the provision of His power. In Psalm chapter 5, verse 11, He said, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Listen, my friend, when the presence of God is there, thank God, and His presence, and He's provided us with His power. Listen, we realize what He's doing. He's leading, He's guiding, and He's out front. When we see who He is, we're moved by His company and that He's associated Himself with us. Amen. And we can shout with joy. And not only we can shout tonight because of the accompanying captain, but we can shout tonight because of the associated company. But we can shout tonight because of the assumed claim. Oh my. See here, their feet were standing on their claim. You say, what are you saying? God had given it to Abraham way back. He said, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take you to a place and I'm going to show you a place. He said, I'm giving unto you for you and your seed to have and possess and dwell in. They were now standing once again in the claim that God had given them. Oh my, but notice I said assumed claim. Somebody said, well, I studied, I thought, well, I just kind of don't, is that a good word? You know, we wanted everything, put our A's in the right place and our B's and our, you know, get everything. We want it alliterated. I said, well, it's assumed. Let me look that word up. That word assumed, when I looked it up, it says to suppose as a fact. Amen. To suppose as a fact. Amen. I don't think you got it. I didn't get it. To suppose as a fact. Amen. Isn't that something? Now notice here that to assume they were possessing. How did they possess it? They assumed their claim with a process of faith. Here we find faith exercised. They were obedient in doing it. They weren't like a lot of Baptists today. When Joshua came out, he said, now, God has given us an order how we're to have this. We're going to, in order for us to have, assume this claim, and in order for us to have victory here, then he said, we're to march one time every day, and then on the seventh day, we're to march seven times around the city. And they said, that's what we'll do. They didn't have a committee to search it out and say, well, you know, is that the proper way to do it? Why don't we march three times? If we can march seven times in one day, why don't we break it up and we won't be so tired at the end of this victory, amen? That's the way we say it up home in the hills, tired, amen. Let's walk three one day, three the next, and we can walk seven that day, and we'll be done in three. God didn't say do it that way. That's Baptist thinking. But the order was given for them to have victory. For them, listen, to assume what God had given. They had to exercise faith. Can you imagine them standing, those well-prepared? You look at the very first part of the passage. I won't go up there, but it said there's mighty men on the walls of Jericho. I mean, here they got their spears and they got their swords and their armors, I believe all the armor matched. Everything was together. Everything, man, they were polished and they were mighty fighting men. And here they stand and they look. And they said, well, looks like it's going to be a frontal assault. They got a box out front. Some guys with some horns. And here they come. Well, I imagine Israel was a motley looking crew. They weren't fighting people. They'd been just brought out of bondage, and all the instruments of war that they had was where God had fought the battle for them in the past and left the armament on the field. And here they got all different kinds of helmets, probably different length swords, different short spears. Thank God, because anyway, we won't go there. I won't pick from Dr. Brown, but anyway, and long spears, short spears, everything. Hey, listen, they were looking. Here they come. They probably said, look at that ragtag crowd. Now, we've been assaulted by the best. Our walls have been taken, have been assaulted by some great armies. But look at this. That going to take our city? What did they do? They came. And as they marched, probably a couple of them boys said, well, said, I'll tell you what. Said, they're watching fellows. They're watching us from a wall. She says, you know, I don't understand this, but man, look like we ought to just jump up there and take it. But you know, Joshua said there's a way that it's got to be done.
Amen.
You know, and we just got to keep doing. You know, it's going to be 7 long days here. I guarantee we're going to have a few blisters when we get done. But I guarantee you right now, I believe if we'll do just what God said, we'll have victory.
Amen.
Yes, sir. We're going to have a victory. You say, what do you say? I believe they kind of picked their step up a little bit. And they said, you know, whew, come on, let's get on with this thing a little bit. You know, that's the way we ought. You say, how do we live in our life? We're just the claim that God's given us. We need to just suppose this fact. Said, hey, listen, how do I live daily? Well, I just trust God. I just follow Him. What am I to do? How am I going to have the blessings of God? I'm going to be faithful to His Word. I'm going to keep encircling the city. Amen. I'm going to exercise faith and believe God and trust God and assume the claim of the promise that He's given to me. Amen. Yes, sir. Really. Not only we see faith exercised, but we see faith exalted. They marched around that city. 6 times. I was counting that other day. Well, you know, we just got through Friday the 13th. I said, maybe, and everybody said, oh, that's unlucky. Maybe that's where the superstition come from. I don't know. And I asked my mother about it. I said, hey, Mom, I was born on the 13th. I mean, Friday the 13th is always a good day for me. Seemed like I get extra bacon and ham and all that, you know. I said, Mama, I said, the 13th, why is people superstitious about it? She turned and looked at me and said, well, they didn't used to be. My mama said that about me. I think I'm over it. They marched around the city. Notice what he said. I like what he said. Notice we see the exaltation of faith. They were faithful in their march. They exercised faith. And then notice they exalted faith. And Joshua said, you followed through when the priest blew with the trumpets. Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Amen. Now think with me just a moment. They shouted before the walls came down. They believed God. They trusted God. They exalted their voice in faith with a shout. They said, God, you said it. I believe it. And I'm trusting you to follow through. Listen, you promised we would have it. You would give the victory. And my friend, they said, God, we believe you so much. Hallelujah. Amen. They shouted. Then, see, notice here in the exaltation. Notice we see faith completed. He said, for the Lord hath given you the city. Notice with me in verse number 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the walls fell down flat. So the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Amen. They see their faith complete.
Amen.
Boy, I could tell you time and time again. Listen, in evangelism, Billy Kelly used to say, he said, they want you to eat rabbit track soup and sleep on a clothesline. That's kind of hard, eh? But let me say, there have been times, listen, I'm going to tell you, I didn't know how. And I didn't know where it was going to come from. And I've looked at my wife and I said, honey, I'm going to tell you right now, God's going to have to do something. I've got to the place now, the doctor told me when I had the heart attack, he told me the part of my heart where I had, he said, is a section of stress. And I said, well, he said, you stress? I said, well, I stress about everything. If supper's not on time, I stress. Amen. That's deep depression, praise God. But you know, I've got the place now, I just say, Lord, the Lord's going to work a miracle. I'm just looking to Him. I look at my wife, I say, Lord, the Lord's going to have to perform another one. I'm just curious how He's going to. I'm just wondering. Curious is a mountain term, amen, if you didn't know.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'm just wondering how in the world He's going to do it this time. A year ago, April, the van I'm driving, some of you seen me drive, God provided that in January. Anonymously, somebody bought and gave us that, amen.
Amen.
The other old van need to be, that old white one, you know, give a little trouble every now and then. Held me 340,000 miles, amen.
Amen.
And, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, April a year ago. That's when the baby was born. They kind of had to rattle me there for a minute. And our surprise. And we came up. I didn't have two meetings in April. I said, "What?" She said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "I don't know." I went through. She said, "When baby needs diapers." I said, "Was headed to meet." I said, "Babe," I said, "Well, I'll tell you right now, things are close." I said, "I'll tell you the truth." I said, "Baby needs diapers." I said, "I don't have money to buy diapers." I said, "We was going out the driveway, headed out to the meeting that night, finish up the revival meeting." I said, "We just might as well turn around and go back to the house and get a couple extra towels, amen." Well, she said, "Have you stopped the mailbox today?" I said, "No, I hadn't." I said, "I pulled us in the driveway. I swung around there, opened the mailbox, and there's a letter in there. As some other mail and stuff." I was flipping through. I said, here's the mail. And she said, "Well, here's the letter." She opened it up, and someone had just dropped us a line and said, "Brother Lawson was thinking about you. Trust you're doing well. Praying for you. Here's a love gift, $50. I said, "Hey, the baby's got diapers. Amen." See, well, I looked at my watch. We're supposed to meet the preacher at 5:30 or quarter of six at the restaurant to eat. And I told her, I said, "Well, I don't have time to make it to Pilot Mountain." I said, "But I can make it to Mount Airy." I turned, listen, I whirled that car, or a van around in the road, and took off up toward Mount Airy. I come around the corner, shot into the drive-thru, and Sheila was standing there, and she turned, and she looked and saw it was me. She went, "Ah!" started screaming. "Where in the world have you been, preacher?" I said, "I've been out preaching." She said, "Man, it's good." I said, "Well, I know I've been out." I said, "Here, I need you to cash this check." I mean, I was right at 5 o'clock. I said, "I was trying to catch you." And somebody spoke over the side. She turned, and the head teller said, "Who?" I heard her. She said, "Who is that?" She said, "That's Terry Law." She said, "I need to talk to him." Well, she came over, and she said, "I need you to sign this paper right here." Said, "Do you remember Jack's Navy Federal Credit Union, Jacksonville, Florida?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "I need you to sign this paper. It's $1,300. And I said, "What in the world?" Now, they changed their name from Jack's Navy to Vistar back in 2000. And I thought, "What in the world?" She said, "It's from 97. I thought, "What has come back from 97 to haunt me and cause me bad dreams?" And she was talking. I got confused, which didn't take much, so I need my wife to decipher things for me, as we'd say up home. Christy looked at her and said, "Now, wait. Are we having to pay something $1,300, or are we getting $1,300? And she said, "You're getting $1,300. Well, I was sitting there. I knew the bills and everything. And I thought, "Well, Lord, have mercy." Man, I just started crying. I just sitting there, man, the tears running down my face. I said, "Oh, my goodness me." I said, "Oh, my." And I was crying. My wife was crying. And my daughter started crying because we was crying. She had no clue what was crying about. But Hannah was crying, amen. And we just sitting there, and I said, "Hey," she said, "I'm glad you come by." I said, "I'm glad I come by too, amen." I said, "I can't believe 1997. Let me say, you walk by faith. It was 9 years ago. 9 years. Listen, God has the best program you ever seen on savings. He knows when to put it in and withdraw, amen. Praise God. I went back. When I was preaching meetings, had to pay my rent and things. And when I lived at Jacksonville, I'd come through and made a draft on a cashier's check and mailed it in. I went back in my Quicken records and I searched. There was a deposit made. The bank said, "Listen, it's been too late. Too much time has passed." They never cashed the check and returned it back. Amen. God said He needs that back in 2006. Amen. And God saved that thing back and brought it right in when the time was needed. Hallelujah. We pulled out from the bank. I said, "Well, Praise God, the needs have almost been met. God, I'm looking to how God's going to finish the rest of it out. Amen. When we pulled off, and then it dawned on me. Now, I was a little bit older when I got married. Somebody said, "Why don't you get married sooner?" Well, I couldn't find nobody to have me. Brother Joe, when I found somebody, boy, they said, "Stay on it, boy, stay on it." Like him dogs. Get in there, boy, get it. Like him dogs, amen. Get in there, boy. I was 32 when I got married. But when she saw me, she couldn't resist me. Yes, sir, really. She said, "Who's that hunk of 400 pounds over there?" Amen. Man, that's a big chunk of love right there, amen. She asked me out 3 times, and I kept putting her off. And then finally she said yes, and on the 7th date, she fell down and said, "Will you marry me?" And I said, "Might as well, don't have anything else to do," amen. We pulled out from the bank, and I said, "When did they say that date was?" She said, '97. I said, "When did we get married?" I'm checking her mathematics here now, amen. She said, '98, October 17th of 19. I said, "That's right." I said, "Let me tell you something, honey child. You ain't getting any of this." Yes, sir. I said, "That money was mine before we got married." I said, she said, "Yeah, but you made a covenant." I said, "Be quiet, woman. Get thee behind me." But anyway. Faith complete. Listen, I've had physical things I never thought I'd ever face. I faced things, man, lay on the bed, didn't know if I was going to live or die. My 37th birthday laid me flat down the heart. I didn't know if I was going to live or die. I was laying there nervous. Nurse come in. She said, they took me in there to do that catheterization. God, you lose all dignity when you go in a place. And I was laying there and I was shaking. She said, "You nervous?" I said, "Well, yeah, tell you the truth, I am." She said, "What, do you know somebody died?" I said, "Yeah, I had a good preacher friend that came to this same hospital in 95, came in for catheterization. Routine thing. Told his church, said, 'I'll see y'all Sunday.' He come in and they took him in. Boom, they walked out and told him, said, 'He's dead.' They run a line through his heart." I said, "But let me say, I am a nervous. That's just flesh. That's body that we live in. But I know whose hands I'm in. Amen. And I know what claims he's given to me. Amen. I know what promises." And I said, "I'm just trusting God. I'm living this thing by faith.
Praise the Lord.
I'm just trusting God." Listen, she said, "Well, we'll give you something. Your arm should start burning about now to ease you off." I said, give me more. Amen. I close with this. Do you have a shout tonight?
Amen.
Do you have a shout?
Amen.
Let me say to you tonight, I've got a shout.
Amen.
I don't have to be ashamed of who he is. I've got a shout tonight. You say, "Why, preacher?" Because of the Associated Company.
Amen.
Who's with me.
Amen.
Oh, thank God. I've got a shout tonight because of the accompanying captain. Amen.
Amen.
And thank God I've got a shout tonight because of the assumed claim this world's not a home. I'm just a pilgrim and stranger passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Thank God. He said, "Don't be troubled. Don't gnaw your fingernails." Amen. This is not all that you got coming. What you've got is coming down the pike is much better. The best is yet to come. You say, "What are you saying?" I'm shouting in faith and believing God. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you have a shout?
Amen.
Father, tonight I pray we haven't lost our shout. I pray that our shout's been renewed tonight. God, I pray that you'll just give us what we need tonight. Lord, thank you tonight for your accompanying us and being our captain. And Father, tonight, thank you for allowing us to be in your company and to associate ourselves with you. And then, Father, tonight we thank you for the claim that you've given to us in this walk here as we walk on this earth. But thank you for the claim that's yet to come. And thank God we take it as fact It's an assumed claim. And we shout because of what you've given to us, the victory. You who hath overcome death, hell, and the grave, and the world, and everything that's in it. God, thank you for the shout. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Pastor.